You're listening to SIW Radio from SecurityInfoWatch.com, your everything resource for the security industry.
We're here at the Radisson Hotel in Copenhagen. This is episode 16 of SecurityInfoWatch.com's SIW Radio podcast series. I guess we'll call this the Denmark episode. And with us today, Frederik Nielsen, U.S. General Manager for Access Communications, and Martin Grin, Founder and CTO, Chief Technology Officer, correct?
Well, sort of correct, but not really. I mean, this is my background, but I actually run a small little unit within the company for new business areas.
Oh, okay. And we're mainly here to talk about network video. And Frederik, I understand you've been authoring a book, which is news to me as of today. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, and it was supposed to be a secret, but here we are going live with it. So I think, you know, what better place to announce it than Security InfoWatch?
It's actually
what we see on the market is that there's still tremendous need for education. And we've been designing and authoring a lot of technical information throughout the years, and we decided to assemble those and distribute and sell it as a book available for anyone to buy, you know, very unbiased, just very informational about IP network video.
Now, you've been writing for us for a couple years now about IP network video, and we've covered a lot of educational topics, but where do you see the educational needs of the industry, of the physical security industry these days?
It's a great question. When we were having lunch only today, and there was a couple of people from the U.S., there was one that said, you know, how do you address the topic about image quality? And that is a topic that was a weakness for network cameras up until 2-3 years ago, and now it's actually a strength. And this is people that are part of the market that are still asking those kind of questions. We also see on the total cost of ownership and kind of budgeting and looking at a whole project where we are starting to understand why our customers are going with this solution. We're trying to convey that to the whole market. So there is still, in many, many areas, both technical and business areas alike, a need for education.
And Martin, let's talk a little bit about technology here since we're moving in that education arena. Can you give us an update about video compression schemes and what's happening in that arena for network video?
Well, if we look today, I mean, the vast majority of users are still using the motion JPEG. And there has been, I mean, a lot of talk. We implemented MPEG-4 in our product, I think it was back in 2003. And still, the majority of users are still using motion JPEG. So the take-up is very slow, but it actually matches this market. I mean, where it's still only about 15% who made the switch to IP video in a market still dominated by analog technology.
And what is going to differentiate? Why should end users be interested more in MPEG-4 versus motion JPEG?
Well, that is a very good question, and I do not have a good answer to it. End users are used to think in terms of number of frames per second, and it's very easy to think in number of frames per second in if you're using motion JPEG. It's so much easier to handle. When you do MPEG-4, it's a lot more stuff to it than just adding the compression scheme, and this is probably the reason why the uptake has been so slow.
Is it slower for the integrators to set up a MPEG-4 camera versus a motion JPEG?
No, it really has to do with the video management system and the companies designing the video management system. Today, I believe Access has close to 500 companies worldwide designing and developing software for managing video from our products. And the MPEG-4 is more complex, and also I think with motion JPEG, you know what you get. With MPEG-4, you never really know what quality you get, and if you set it up incorrectly with constant bitrate instead of variable bitrate, yeah, you're going to have great low bandwidth, but you're going to have really poor quality when something is happening in the picture. So I think it again, goes back to education. People need to be more educated to use it efficiently.
And obviously, compression schemes don't stop at MPEG-4 or motion JPEG. What are you guys looking at in terms of H.264?
Well, I mean, everyone in the industry is obviously looking at H.264 or AVC, and of course we do the same. I mean, I believe that AVC, I mean, has the potential to be an easier pickup than the MPEG-4 has been. But have in mind, this market is still 85% analog, so the real switch is to go over to the digital technology. And then comes the issues of the compression technologies, and I believe a lot in the H.264 standards, so it's definitely going to come, but it will take time.
Well, speaking of taking time and uptake, let's talk about megapixel video. Obviously, Axis is now in that space, and what is the uptake on megapixel video from your resellers and from your user customers?
I think it depends on different markets. We have some very large customers that are looking to go from SIF resolution to 4SIF resolution. They haven't done that yet. And that step kind of fourfolds the recording space or the storage space needed. I think moving to MPEG-4 or to megapixel, there's definitely cameras out there, there's application, there's big benefits. I think what's important is for anyone to look at the total cost structure and make sure, you know, they don't over design the storage and spend too much time on the or money on the storage side, and I think that's what's holding people back. Then you have another thing as well. When it comes to light sensitivity, the megapixel cameras in general are not as light sensitive as the regular cameras. But still, I think if you're looking 2-3 years out, I think the standard camera is a 1 or 2 megapixel camera. I don't know if you would agree, Martin.
Well, I can add on. I mean, I fully share the views of Frederick. What I would like to add, I mean, is that very much of the megapixel race, I think it's more like vendor-driven rather than user-driven. Again, we talk about very conservative customers. And switching to megapixel, I mean, it's this is obviously what counts. I mean, if you do a handheld digital camera, the trick is to have as many megapixels as possible. But in order to work in a system, you need the VMS to work, which I think we have. I mean, we now have probably the largest megapixel product family on the market. I actually believe that Axis is the market leader right now. But it will take time until we have the adoption. However, I mean, it's clear that if you care about the image quality, the higher resolution, the better. So one day, I mean, it's going to be the majority.
There's, I think, a lot of confusion in the industry right now as terms like high-resolution cameras, megapixel cameras, and trying to compare analog cameras to the network cameras. How do you differentiate between a high-resolution camera and a megapixel camera? As the users read the product literature, you know, should they be looking for to differentiate those?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. When it comes to high-resolution cameras on the analog side, I think those were the ones going beyond 500 lines. Technically, you should only be able to do 480 lines in the analog world if you're looking at the SIF standard, and then if you go, you can actually stretch that with some technology and get up to the 530 or 570. And if you're looking at megapixel, you're up to the 1,000 lines. Like the HDTV, you're up to the 1,080. So kind of only there with megapixel, you're twice as good as the high-res cameras on the analog side. Again, I think it goes back to the education. And sometimes I feel really sorry for the end users trying to capture all this information, because us vendors, we just keep on promoting and pushing the latest, and we kind of don't straighten it out. And I think that goes back to one of the reasons why I author a book and trying to kind of set everything straight and spend a lot of time on that.
Yeah, it's not as easy as, okay, the Pentium 2 is better than the Pentium 1.
No, you're right.
There's a lot more to it. I mean, just look on the lens. It's very difficult to get a good megapixel lens which has the right quality in the edges. Mm. And there are so many issues to it.
And in terms of the lens, that's a major effect on the megapixel cameras, as I understand. Correct me if I'm wrong. It should be a good education for our listeners that a lens affects the resolution of a megapixel camera, correct?
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there is once you get up to the high resolution of a megapixel sensor, the quality of the glass and how the auto iris is designed because of light diffraction becomes very important. And that was never important when you're using regular resolution. And I think anyone who's in professional photography know that the big difference you really make with the lens, and there is lenses that can cost, you know, however much you want to ever spend for you know, that component.
Have a look at the R212 product, for those of you familiar with it, which is our 140-degree pan-tilt zoom camera without any moving parts. That camera is built in a 3-megapixel sensor, and we have a very big lens, which everyone who sees the product understands, and that is obviously very advanced in order to handle that large resolution without any artifacts. So that really shows the difference between like a lens matched to the multi-megapixel versus not matching it.
Absolutely. Certainly take a look at that. We'll try to post a link up on that on the site with this podcast. One of the things we've had a little bit of a discussion at, how do you keep cameras, network cameras, from just being a commodity? Because there's a mindset, I think, out there, probably from legacy users of analog cameras, that a camera is a camera is a camera as long as it has a decent imager. What separates vendors, and how do you keep a camera from just being another commodity that just low price driven?
You know, I think a camera will, network camera, like any product that has an uptake and selling on a mass market. Right now, Axis have sold a million network cameras, and obviously when we sold only a few hundred per month, it was a more exclusive product. And the first ones, I think we charged $1,500 for. And
something like it.
And today we charge $200 for a camera that's superior. So obviously there is some commoditization going on and prices going down. I think if you compare network cameras to analog cameras, it's definitely so that the network camera is much more advanced. There's much more functionality. So commoditization is going to take longer time, but there's also a better way to do differentiation between vendors than whoever was on the analog camera side. Image quality, intelligence, resolution, and so forth. But then I think also there is a lot of other things to differentiate companies, such as what we're seeing today on the analog camera market with services and warranties and being there for the customers and customized development for certain customers as well. But there's going to be more competition there. There's going to be more price pressure in this market, that's for sure, as it grows, as quickly as it does.
And certainly it's grown a long ways. We got to see the prototype, your first camera, one image per second, right?
Yes, and if you wanted the 4-CIF resolution, it was one image every 17 seconds.
Talk about real-time video. Well, Frederick and Martin, thank you very much for coming on SIW Radio to talk about technology, and enjoy the rest of your evening.
Yeah.
Thank you for inviting us, Jeff.
Thank you.
Thanks.